And we just give him the glory today. The Gospel of John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 31. If you'll look there with me this morning. For those of you like me who grew up in church, you may not have had as dramatic of a conversion. I was raised up, you know, going to church, learning about the Bible, learning a lot of, spiritual lessons, spiritual experiences, but I still needed to get saved. I still needed to be born again. And there were still all kinds of things that were getting a hold of my life. Even as a young person, there were a lot of things that the enemy was trying to do to destroy my life. And I'm sure that's your testimony as well. So whether you grew up in church or not, you still needed to be set free by the power of God. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Glory to God. Amen. Most all of us know what it is to be bound in sin, at least in some degree or another. A few weeks ago, Marcia and I had the privilege of spending a few days in New York City, and on one of those days, we went out on a big boat that went up the New York Harbor there, and a guy was on the speaker explaining all the historical places that we were going, and quite honestly, he was very liberal. I picked up on it real quick. He was an extremely liberal guy. I'm talking about his political persuasion and his socialist persuasion. Very liberal, and I picked up on that. But there was no denying when we came up on the Statue of Liberty that there's nothing more to be said about it that we already are very, very aware of, but I learned some things, and have learned some things about that statue that stands out there in New York Harbor, and it is a symbol of freedom. It's symbolic in this country of freedom. Thousands of people from all over the world have come to try to gain entry into the United States, and many have come through that Ellis Island and that New York Harbor and have passed by that Statue of Liberty. And it's interesting, the torch that Lady Liberty is holding up is a bright light that is it's symbolic of leading the way to freedom, showing you the way to freedom. The crown upon her head, seven big rays that are up on top of her head, those seven rays are symbolic of the seven continents of the world. People from all over the world have come, and many long to come to the U.S. because of the freedoms that we enjoy here. At the very base of the statue are chains, broken chains, which of course are just symbolic of tyranny broken and freedom that has been given to those who have come to the United States of America. She, in her other arm, is holding a tablet, which are symbolic of the law. It's shaped in the shape of a keystone. The keystone is a stone that keeps everything else, holds everything else in place. And it's shaped like a keystone because it is symbolic of the laws of our nation. And everyone that comes into our nation must come in by way of the law. And they must adhere to the laws of our country. And they must be truly American and become American. Amen. They need to speak English. They need to be American. They need to turn aside and turn away from their former nationality and truly become American. That's what that tablet in her arms represents for all who would want to come. We are the land of the free, the home of the brave. But as wonderful as this nation is, America can't save you. America can't save your soul. America can't set you free from sin. It's a wonderful place to come. It's a wonderful place to have the freedoms that we enjoy. But every man and every woman needs to know Jesus Christ and needs to be set free and needs to understand what real freedom is all about. If the Son makes you free, you are free indeed, the scripture says. That's the good news. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when we declare it, when we preach it, we hold in our hands the key to freedom for the souls of mankind. That's why we declare the gospel. That's why we send missionaries around the world. It's why that we are involved in the work of the ministry to reach as many as we can, because we know it's the only key, it's the only way that they can truly be set free from their sin. Sin weighs you down. Sin makes you guilty. But you can be set free only by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you're free through Him, you are free indeed. It just simply means you are completely free. You are really free. It's real freedom when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that freedom is from the guilt of sin. That freedom is from the power of sin. That freedom is from the penalty of sin. You are set free through the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew 10 and 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. That's our calling as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have received, and now we are to give freely the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the testimony of the gospel. Oh, how blessed and privileged that we are. I saw a little testimony of a young man, a Mormon young man, that was raised up in Mormonism, and he was his mother was a professor at Brigham Young University. His father was a priest in the Mormon church, and that was all he had ever known. But this young man gave the testimony of his of what happened to him as he was sent out as a young man as a Mormon missionaries. They commit themselves to 2 years and to go. I've seen them. I remember seeing them in Eastern Europe. I've seen them different places around the world. I've seen them in London, Kentucky, Mormon missionaries. They spread out all over the world, thousands of them. But sad to say, they are in darkness because they don't know the real Jesus that can set them free. It is a religion of works. It's a religion that is where you earn your salvation, and along with many other of the errors of their doctrines. But that primarily is, it is a religion of earning your salvation through deeds and through works. And it's a sad thing, but this young man said that he tried to convert a preacher. He was stationed in South Florida, and he tried to convert a preacher of the gospel to Mormonism. But instead, this preacher came back and witnessed to him of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and challenged him to read the Bible as a child, as if he never had read it before. And he began to do that. And he had a longing and a hunger to know God. And as he read, whenever he completed his 2 years as a Mormon missionary, he had been truly born again.
and saved. He has to go back to his mother and his father, has to go back to his fiance, who is a Mormon. He has to go back before the elders and to give the report of what's happened on his 2-year mission. And he tells them all, I was born again. I got set free, really set free. And it was not through anything, any works, but it was through Jesus Christ. And he gave that testimony. And as a result, his father, the priest in the Mormon church, was born again. His mother, that was a professor at Brigham Young University, was born again. His fiance, that was also in Mormonism, she was born again. His two brothers that were also raised up in Mormonism, the whole family, all of them have been born again, and their lives have been changed because of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, some of you here today, I don't know all that you're dealing with or all the circumstances of your life, but there are people in this service today and you're bound. You're bound. Some of you are bound in your sin. Some of you are bound under the weight of hopelessness. You see, the enemy comes to rob, to steal, and to destroy. That's why he comes. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. And that more abundantly. He's the one that wants to provide for you a wonderful, superabundant, blessed life. And he can do that for you, and not only in this life, but in the life to come. The Lord can work mightily in your behalf. But Satan comes to destroy. He's the thief. He comes to rob, to steal, and to kill. Oh, it's a terrible thing, isn't it? Many of you have had the experience of someone or some thief coming and taking something that belongs to you. Some of you may have lost things that are precious to you when a thief comes and steals from you. I've told before how that when Marcia and I were first married, my first Christmas present to her was a sewing machine, somewhat prophetic of all that was going to be happening in her life. She was already sewing, but I bought her a portable sewing machine for Christmas, and we lived in an apartment that was less than luxurious. It was pretty humble, 3 rooms, and very humble. But I want you to know, we had pleated draperies in that humble little apartment. She made draperies. Any of you that sew and know what pleated draperies are, it's tough to make something like that. We had these beautiful, she sewed and she made things, and it was pretty amazing. But after about 1.5 or 2 years, someone broke into our apartment and they stole one thing, her sewing machine. And the neighbor said, I saw the guy, he was running down the alley behind the house carrying that sewing machine. I don't know what he wanted with it. But he stole something that was valuable. And it was precious to her. And it was gone. And it couldn't be returned. It's a bad feeling when something you have that's valuable to you. My finger got too fat for my wedding ring. And I had to take it off and put it in a place. And one day, it's gone. Someone stole my wedding ring. It's awfully upsetting when things of value are taken. Do you know that that's exactly what Satan came to do? He is a thief who comes to rob and to steal and to kill. And he wants to put you in a position that you are in hopelessness. You're in a position where you can't find an answer. He is a thief. He comes right into your home and tries to steal from you your children, your family. He wants to come into your marriage and rob you of your marriage. He wants to come into your finances and rob you of your resources. He wants to come into your health and steal your health from you. Anything of value that God has given to you, the enemy wants to take it away from you. He wants to destroy you. He'll put bitterness in your heart and anger in your heart. And anytime you leave the door open, he will gain access and he will destroy and he will bind you. That's what he does. He is a thief. But I want you to know, those of you here today, that you're feeling the weight of bitterness, anger. You feel like I am bound. I can't move forward. I can't do what I need to do in my life. You need Jesus, the only one that can provide the key, the answer to your situation. It's only through Him. There's no other way. Your life is never going to be an abundant life except through Jesus Christ. That's the only way that you can understand what that is. You remember that woman in Luke chapter 13 that came to the temple and is in the most pitiful condition you could almost ever describe. This woman came to the temple. Jesus is there. This woman comes in. The Bible says, Acts 13 and 11, she has a spirit of infirmity. It's been 18 years. She is bowed completely together. Now, the best I can understand from this scripture, that means she is just bowed down. Just like someone would go all the way down to the floor, she is completely bowed down to the floor. That's the physical condition that she is in. She could not in no wise lift herself up. When Jesus saw her, He called for her and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Hallelujah. Now the ruler of the synagogue was there and complained because Jesus was healing on the Sabbath day. But Jesus pointed out their hypocrisy and said, "Well, you know, you go out and you lead your animals to water and you take care of your animals on the Sabbath. Why can't this little woman be delivered from her bondage on the Sabbath day?" He pointed out their hypocrisy. But I want you to notice a few things about this woman's situation. The Bible calls it a spirit of infirmity. What was going on in her life was a spiritual bondage. It affected her physically, but it was satanic. It was demonic. It was from the devil. It was a spirit of infirmity that got a hold of his life. I want you to know, and some of you that are Christians here today, I'm not suggesting that you can be possessed of the devil, because I don't believe that Christians can be demon possessed, but I do believe that sometimes Christians open the door and leave the door open, and they allow the enemy access to their life, and they find themselves under bondage, even Christian people, under the bondage of sin, under the bondage of the world, under the control of the influences of this world. If you leave the door open, the enemy is going to gain access to your life. Even Christians can find themselves vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy and find themselves bound by the enemy. So this was a spirit of infirmity. This was a satanic bondage. And Satan wants to bind you and bind your life, whether it be in your mind or your physical body or your family relationships or in your spirit or whatever. It can be all different types of ways that the enemy will bind you, but he wants to get a hold of your life and destroy what God has given to you. The Bible says that this woman was, it was not only a spiritual affliction that affected her physically, it says she was bowed together. That's the way she lived. Her perspective on life was, she was always looking down. Always looking down. That was her perspective. Now, I've never had the privilege of being as tall as Caleb Taylor. Caleb Taylor sees the tops of refrigerators all the time. I never do. I have to get on a step to get up to. I'm 5'9", and I can't see the tops of refrigerators. He has a lot different, lofty perspective than most of us do, doesn't he? He does. The rest of us, our perspective is lower. This woman was only looking down. That was the perspective of her life. She was bowed down. The enemy wants to bind you. And what he will do, it will cause you to only be, your whole perspective on life and everything that's in your life is going to be down. Always looking at your situations through the lens of hopelessness and no faith and no confidence that anything could ever be different, ever be changed. That was the position that this woman was in. Bowed together, it says. She was bowed down, bound together. And another thing about her was that she could not, it says she could not lift herself up. She was powerless. to do anything to change her circumstance. There may be some of you today, you've prayed about it, you've tried, you've done your best, but you find yourself today in a situation you can't do anything about your situation. You can't see it changed. It's out of your power and your ability to make a difference in the circumstance of your life. This woman could not help herself. And many times, we can't help ourselves when we have come under the bondage and the attack of the enemy of our soul. There's not anything we can do about it. It's out of our power, but God can. God can. Nothing is too hard for Him. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. He can raise you up. He can deliver you. He can set you free from whatever bondage that the enemy sends your way. Now, the most remarkable thing about this woman was she is bound over together, and she has been in that predicament for 18 years. 18 years. Now, I've been sick a few times, you know, maybe a week, 2 weeks. This last year in January, I had the flu, and I thought I was never going to get over it. It lasted a few weeks, but I've never been sick for 18 years. I've never been in the predicament that this woman was in. And what's really remarkable about her is that on the Lord's Day, she's in the temple. She goes to church. She goes to church and she is bowed over with this spirit of infirmity. I don't know what motivated her except that she disbelieved. I want to get where Jesus is. I want to go where I can get help. And she understood, if I can just get in the house of God and get in the presence of God, maybe there's help for me. She's a remarkable woman who suffered for 18 years, and she is under bondage in that predicament for all of those many years. And she could not help herself, but she goes to the house of God. And this day, Jesus is there. And Jesus takes notice of her bondage. He takes notice of what she is going through. And I want all of you here today that are struggling and you're in some sort of a situation and you need to get set free from it. It doesn't matter what it is. You need to be free. And you know, I just need to get help from God. I've got to get set free. I want you to know that Jesus is aware of your need and He cares about you. He cares about your circumstance. He cares about your worries and your problems. He cares about your family. He cares about your marriage, He cares about your child or your children or your grandchildren. He cares about all the things that seem to have you worried and concerned and burdened. He cares about whatever it is that you're dealing with today. God cares, and He cares enough to help you in the circumstance that you are in today if you'll put your trust in the Lord. Amen. Now, Jesus gives us some insight here in this verse, and I'm just going to take just a few more minutes, and then we're going to give you an opportunity to come and get help from the Lord. The Bible says that Jesus spoke to these Jews that day, and He said, if you'll continue in My word, or in another place, if you'll abide in Me, abide in My word, then you are My disciples indeed. The word just indeed just means completely or genuinely or really My disciple. You're the true disciple if you read and do and obey My words. That's the key. That's the answer, is coming to the Lord and understanding that it's the truth that can set you free. There's so many lies. This world is so filled with lies. Such a philosophy that's anti-God and anti-Bible and against the things of God. That's the spirit of this age that we're in today. It causes us to look at the Word of God. If we're not careful, we'll look at the Word of God as if this seems so strange. It seems so foolish. How could there ever be power in the Word of God? But let me tell you, there is. There is. There's nothing more powerful than God's word. Nothing more powerful to influence your life, to change your life. And so He says, stay in My word. In My word, in My truth, there is freedom. In My truth, there is freedom. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A lot of people are living their lives today and I don't want to serve God. I don't want to live that kind of a life. I've got my own ideas about the way that I want to live. And in truth, you are bound. You are bound by the things and the lies of the enemy. But the truth of God's word can set you free and can give you hope. Now, those religious leaders, they couldn't hardly accept this. And they just couldn't accept. They were so arrogant and proud that they say, well, I don't know. We're children of Abraham and we've never been in bondage to anybody. Why would you say that we need to be free? They were so proud. A lot of times we're self-sufficient. We think we don't need God. We don't need Him to help us. But, oh, you need Him. He's the answer to the very things that are weighing heavily upon your heart today. The very things that you worry about when you lay down at night. The concerns, the burdens of your heart. The things that seem to affect you and control you. And you can't seem to really break through to real joy and happiness and fulfillment in your life is because you are not allowing God to help you. Would you let Him help you today? Just set aside the pride and the self-sufficiency of your life and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and let Him help you. Let Him set you free. He will set you free if you'll just come to the Lord and allow Him to do the work that only He can do. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You shall be really free. Really free. Genuinely free. You can be truly free from all of the things that sin bring into your life to destroy you and to take away from you. I'm telling you, there are all kinds of things that the enemy is using these days. Fear is such an enemy of your victory and your freedom. So many times people are under the control of fear in their life. Jesus wants to set you free from that today. Some of you are dealing with bitterness. You're bitter over how what someone did to you or what someone said about you or how you were treated or what your circumstances were. And you've allowed bitterness to get a hold of your heart. And that root of bitterness has sprung up. And everybody that comes in contact with you, everyone around you, they can see that bitterness has got such a stronghold in your life. You need to let it go and you need to come to Jesus. He's the only one that can set you free from all that. It might be greed or envy. You're always looking around at what everyone else has or what everyone else has accomplished. And you're looking at yourself and saying, I haven't been able to do this or accomplish that much. And you're filled with greed and envy. Sometimes it's a spirit of lust that gets a hold of the hearts of people. And they are living their life after the flesh and after the desires of the flesh and the longing of the things of this world. I can't even go through all the list of things that can destroy your life and that Satan can use to get a hold of you. But he will, and he has. And no doubt there are many right here in this service today. And you're dealing with some bondage in your life. I read about when Jamaica got its freedom from slavery, they enacted laws in Jamaica in the 1800s against slavery. Thousands of slaves gathered together and they built a large coffin and they filled that coffin full of chains that they used to be bound by, whips that they used to be beaten with, all the things that were symbolic of their bondage and their slavery. And they filled that coffin up with all of those chains and all of those things that were a part of their former life of slaves. And they dug a deep, deep hole and they buried it all in the ground. And they rejoiced and celebrated because they are now free men in the country of Jamaica. Do you understand that that's what Jesus came to do? He came to give you freedom in the circumstance of your life, to set you free. Your former life no longer has to be a life of bondage. No longer has to be a life under the control and the dominion of the enemy of your soul. You can be set free today. Hallelujah. And I've prayed yesterday, I've prayed this morning, asking the Lord, Lord, would you stir the hearts of those in the meetings today that may be bound in some way in their life? Can you imagine that little poor little woman who has been bent over for 18 years? Some of you have been in your circumstance for such a long time that your perspective is just, this is the way it's going to be. This is all I can see is hopelessness. There's no answer to my predicament. It's just going to be this way. But I pray that today you've had enough faith just to come to the house of God. And it may have been that you've suffered under the bondage and the attack of the enemy for a long time, but you've come to the house of God. You've come into this place, and we have prayed and sought the Lord and asked God to send His Spirit into this place today. And I believe He's going to help. I believe He's going to minister to those today in this place that you're under the bondage of the enemy, and He wants to set you free. Glory be to God. Could we stand together all over this place? Many of you have been saved. You have been delivered. You have been set free from the power of sin. Some in this building, I'm convinced you're dealing with some real struggles right now. The enemy has got you bound, and you are overwhelmed by the circumstances of your life, and you do not know what to do. Could you just look to Jesus? That little woman, she caught the attention of Jesus that day. He saw her and said, woman, come, come. He laid hands upon her, and the chains were broken. And she stood up straight for the first time in 18 years. And she's delivered. Now she has a completely different perspective on life. Always before, it was just down and hopeless and despair. But now she can see, and she's free from the bondages of her life. Praise God. So I want to ask you, first of all, those in this meeting today, you are struggling. You are struggling. The enemy, it may be fear, worry, doubt, unbelief, or so many different things that the enemy has got a grip on you, and he doesn't want to let go. But you can get help today, this morning, in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to invite anybody here today. You're in need. You're in need of deliverance. You need help from the Lord. You need to be set free today. I want to ask you to come right now. Amen. I want to ask you to step out and walk to the front so that we can pray with you and believe God to help you. Glory be to God. Now, I know that there are several. I know that there are, because the Lord has so dealt with me about this. And I know that there are several in this service today, and you really need to be set free. So we're going to take a few minutes here, and we're going to wait for you to respond. Amen. Don't allow the enemy to rob you any longer, to bind you any longer. Step out, and let's believe God. Would you come? Come right up here to the front, right up here to this altar. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You can get help right here in the presence of the Lord. There are answers for you right here in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. You can be free. And when Jesus sets you free, you will be free indeed. You will really be free when Jesus sets you free. Glory be to God. Glory to God. Folks, let's pray right now. All of us pray together for those in this service that need to respond. The enemy, he is trying his best. I mean, he is holding on with a death grip. But the enemy is a defeated foe. But we need to pray together right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, for everyone that's in this place, Lord, that is in need of help from you. I ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, in that name that is above every other name, Lord, would you set them free today? Lord, and that the lies of the enemy will be put down and destroyed. That all that Satan is attempting to do, Lord, that he will be a defeated foe in this place today, in Jesus' name. Lord, and I pray for those that are bound and they're dealing with struggles in their life. Lord, that you would move mightily in their needs, we pray. And we thank you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Are there others? You're struggling. You really need the Lord. You really need the Lord to help you, to minister to you. Would you step out right now and let's believe God. Let's agree together and believe God to minister help around this altar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't hold back. Don't resist. Let God help you. Let God help you. Praise the Lord. I know it takes a lot of courage to step out in front of everyone. But please, let the Lord help you today. Just step out. Step out in faith and believe that God can change the circumstance that you are in right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. Minister in this place, we pray. God, deal with the hearts of your people. Deal with the hearts of those, Lord, that are in need. Lord, that Satan would be defeated today in this service. And we thank you for it. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen.